specific time constraints. So I would like, if I could have the consensus of the body, to put the KPFT General Manager Report up as the next item of business, followed by the KPFT LSB Chair's Report, followed by public comment, followed by Brian DeShazer's Radio Archives Report, followed by the Executive Director's Report. And at that time, we'll be fairly close to exhausting our time. If we have some time left, we can decide if one of the other items still has room to fit into the agenda. But I think that otherwise we'll run completely over schedule. Everything else has to be renegotiated for tomorrow's agenda, but we can go ahead and then, you know, decide where to put those things.
So moved.
Without objection.
Thank you, Campbell, so much.
Mine was before his.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. We'll consider Campbell a second to Andrea. Thank you, everyone. So, with this happy consensus, something I hope we can do lots more of, I would like to please welcome Dwayne Bradley from KPFT, the general manager, and ask him to please give us his report. Thank you so much, Mr. Bradley, for being with us this evening.
Thank you for thanks for having me.
And to the audience, we apologize that he either has to face us or you, but we need him to face us right now, so thank you.
I know a lot of people both in front and behind me, so those of you out listening right now, hello as well. I hope you all are enjoying your at least the initial moments of your visit to Houston. Hope you're planning on coming down to KPFT tomorrow evening for a little reception. You may or may not be aware that this reception tomorrow night is also a celebration of the life of our membership coordinator, Janet Freeman, who passed away about 4 weeks ago, just prior to about a week before our winter fund drive started. I'm normally not so swankily attired. Fridays at KPFT has traditionally been casual Friday. I show up on Friday mornings in jeans and a T-shirt with a box of donuts and kolaches for the staff. And so this is not my normal attire, but today is Go Texan Day. And the trail riders are all out in Memorial Park. It's a big tradition in Houston that's the beginning of the rodeo season. And also I was at a funeral for one of our volunteers earlier this evening. So I feel a little awkward, but also, I don't know, this may be a good first impression for those of you who haven't seen me before.
You look fantastic in a Natalie's Texan kind of way.
So I hope you've all taken great note of the very concise report that I sent off to the national office that you, I know, read on the way over here. And I was listening at work this morning. I was really happy to hear our CFO speak as highly of KPFT as she did in terms of the fact that our budgeting process is pretty solid. We have a pretty good core management team. We've had some darn good leadership of our local station board over the years, both in terms of LSB leadership and in particular working with the Finance Committee chairs over the years to go through the budget process. I've got a really great business manager that works with me on the budget process and interfaces with me and the LSB. We also have, you know, we also have a relatively small staff. I got to know a little bit more about some of you listening to you introduce each other just now, those of you I didn't already know. And for those of you who don't really know me, I actually started my 10th year as general manager at KPFT earlier this month on Groundhog Day. One of Dan Coughlin's first hires after he became the executive director back in the revolution of January 2002. So there's a lot of good things to say about KPFT. I hope you've read some of them. I'm here, I think, for what, 15 minutes, and I'd like to let you all have some time to ask any questions you might have. Some of the things that are relatively recent, and I realize you know, that you may or may not be up on everything that's happening in Houston. Just at the beginning of this month, we entered into a relationship with Rice University to lease our digital HD2 channel to Rice University for a 7-year term. And I'm not at liberty to, you know, discuss the financial arrangements of that in a public session, but I am able to say that it didn't cost KPFT anything, and KPFT and Pacifica are making out financially on this arrangement, as well as performing, I think, some mission-worthy service by entering into this agreement with Rice University to essentially pipe their signal into our transmitter for digital HD2, still leaving us and actually giving us the capacity to open up an HD3 channel, which began simultaneously. So we moved everything that was on HD2 at the time down one more notch. And one of the things about the HD, because I don't think any other Pacifica stations are broadcasting in digital, is that to get to the Rice station through KPFT, you first have to stop at our main station. You have to dial in 90.1, and it locks in on HD1, and then you can go down to 2 or 3, but you've got to pass through essentially the KPFT home port to get to Rice University or to our other channel. So I think that one of the upsides down the road, Rice attracts mainly a very youthful audience, is that, and it's mainly a music feed that's most noted for the fact that they won't play anything that's on any major label. And they play a lot of local music, and they bring a lot of people in to play live. And they play a lot of avant-garde and underground types of music. So I think that over time, people will begin to check out that other part of the channel, the main channel, and may well become future members of KPFT and supporting members of KPFT and financial contributors to KPFT over time. So that's an upside down the road. Another nice thing technically I'd like to share with you is we've been working on a couple of translator construction permits that we have until September of this year to finish, or we give the licenses back to the FCC. So these little repeater stations, we have one down in Galveston at 89.5 FM. It's been there since, I think, my second year here is when we turned Galveston on. We're turning on 89.7 FM in Huntsville probably on March 1st. It may be delayed past our birthday, which is Tuesday when KPFT turns 41. But that's a big expansion, and though Huntsville isn't a huge town, it's about 60 miles north of Houston. It's most noted for being home of most of the major prisons. It's where the death chamber is in Texas, so all of the hundreds of folks that Bush and now Perry and all the other governors have killed here in Texas over the years, it's happened in Huntsville. It's right on the fringe of KPFT's signal. The prisoners there, they know on Friday nights to tune into KPFT. They have for 30 years. It used to be on Sunday afternoon, but they've known for a long time Friday nights is when you want to listen to KPFT if you can get the radio to tune in. When this channel 89.7 comes on next week or a week later, depending on, you know, circumstances out of our control with phone company people, that signal, though it's only a small couple hundred watts as opposed to our 100,000 watt main channel, is going to get directly into most of these prisons. And it's not like we're doing this to gain a lot of prisoner members of KPFT or to raise money. It's more of a public service to a community that's incarcerated, a community that is certainly underserved. And there's also a college up there. Dan Rather went to Sam Houston State in Huntsville. I can't think of too many other people I know who graduated from there, but it does have a college student body that is also going to be exposed to KPFT a little bit more clearly than is currently available. It kind of goes in and out right now. It's on the fringe of our signal area. So that's a big development. Our third translator that we have scheduled to come online before September, when we would lose this license, is in Livingston, Texas, which is an even tinier town up in the northeast, about 100 miles. And it is, I think it's about 18,000 people in the area that this broadcast signal would serve. It's fairly conservative. But it's also home to the death row unit of the Texas criminal system. So all the death row prisoners were moved to from Huntsville out to Livingston years ago to kind of segregate them from the rest of the prison industrial complex that's centered around Huntsville. And this other station would largely be a service really to that prison as much as anything else. And we're committed to getting both of those completed, the one hopefully next week, the other one in less than 6 months. So those are really good things. So I'm proud to be entering a 10th year here at KPFT. I know we have our own issues. We have you'll hear in public comment, I know, from people who have upsets, some indignant and some angry and some concerned and some all of the above. And I share a lot of the concerns that you're going to hear. 5 minutes? Okay. Then I'll just open it up to anybody's questions.
Ken, go ahead.
Dwayne?
Yes.
Ken from KPFT.
KPFT.
Okay. Hi.
Oh, geez.
Texas is rubbing off on you.
Welcome.
They're moving.
I feel like one of the family. So, Dwayne? And this is going to be what they call a softball question, like you'd get as soon as you're on, you know, a 60-minute interview.
Okay.
What do you consider a recent and major success, and what do you consider a recent and major challenge?
Oh, that's those are both real obvious. The one I spoke of earlier, the recent major success is entering into this agreement with Rice and finalizing a lease for the HD2 channel. The major challenge, I think, is to deal with the thorny issue of the Middle East question, the Israeli-Palestine issue, and whether or not Israeli and Jewish voices are allowed to have a place on Pacifica stations, in particular KPFT.
Thank you. Renee?
Sort of along those lines, but more operational in terms of your relationship with us.
Renee, can you speak into your mic, I think.
Can't hear me?
No, I can, but he's for the stream. I think John's having difficulty. Thank you.
You can hear me now, I bet. Okay, Renee from WPFW. In terms of relationship with Pacifica, what is it that Pacifica can best do for you that hasn't been done now, and what are your biggest challenges when working with the larger network right now?
The biggest thing Pacifica could do for KPFT is to act more like a network, to have our sister stations get their acts together in a way that does not jeopardize the existence of our network.
Thank you. Afia, and then Tracy. And we have to limit the Q&A just because of time constraints, but go ahead, Afia, please.
I'm glad you raised the controversy on KPFT's participation in the Israeli government's effort to defeat the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement by attempting to rebrand itself. And why you think that Pacifica should join forces with NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, CNN in that campaign to do that, when the reality is that it's the Palestinian voice which is not present in the public square in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say anything about any of the letters you mentioned except KPFT. And what I can say about that is that the Palestinian voice is very well represented in the square that is KPFT. I mean, I don't want to only say that, but I know that this is a conversation that can't be had in 5 minutes. So I'll just say I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Tracy.
I think this is more of a comment than a question, but I'll try to get a question out of it. I wanted to express thanks and happiness about the arrangement with KTRU and Rice. I think that's an enormous accomplishment. We are looking at the loss of a significant amount of college radio licenses throughout the country, including most recently and kind of tragically KUSF in San Francisco. And the world has been really short on kind of win-win type solutions that sort of allow these licenses to maintain some sort of life beyond their sell-offs. And I think it's really important and admirable that Pacifica is playing a role in trying to find some kind of ongoing existence for them. And if KPFA thinks it has any handy ideas about KUSF, we'd like to know about.
If I could, I'd just like to say that I think it's a less than ideal solution to the problem, but it is a partial solution and a potential model. And I've been asked by Ginny Burson at NFCB to be part of a panel to discuss issues like this in June in San Francisco. So I'll be there.
Alex, and then Lydia.
I'm Alex Steinberg from WBAI, despite what the sign says. Whatever the immediate controversies you're going through at KPFT, I must note that the KPFT management has been remarkably stable and has a well-deserved reputation for competency. And whereas we don't have that kind of stability in the other listening areas, as you are well aware. Do you have any words of wisdom as to how you've achieved this state of grace, and is there anything we could pass on to the other listening areas?
Luck of the Irish. I'm not sure. I have a background in media. I studied this in college. I've been in love with Pacifica since I was in high school. I've worked in it most of my life. I consider it a blessing. And I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good people, both on the paid staff and for the most part, on the local board, too.
Thank you. Lydia?
Following on what Fia had said, what is the current situation with some of that programming that caused the problem? I know that we had to face this at KPFK many years ago when it was someone from the consulate of the then dictatorship in Brazil, and it poses some serious issues that you know we're all now aware. But what is the current situation? Is there a policy that has been developed as a result of that?
Well, the temporary policy, while I think this needs further discussion and analysis by our program council, is to send a message to the Israeli consul general that they're not going to be given airtime on KPFT. The segment of a show that they were allowed to produce, they produced one time. There were a total of But the show kind of got named, and others produced programs, including our program director, under that name, and it's been branded as the Israeli consul's show, though the Israeli consul did one show. So for the time being, we're not having consuls do shows, which means that the French consul can't come in for Beaujolais Nouveau to do a segment. And neither can the Venezuelan consul. So until we figure that out, if indeed the concern is giving government entities control over pieces of the people's air, then that needs to be a decision that cuts across the board and isn't only being used as a tool against a particular government, but it, you know, American government, Israeli government, Venezuelan government, that was the decision we've made for the time being.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson, please.
Just let you know we're in time, but public comment starts in 5 minutes.
Well, and that's only our internal time certain on an agenda that we all agreed was subject to change. And accommodating that, Arlene has already called Mr. DeShazer to ask him to do his report a half an hour later to allow sufficient time for Q&A with the general manager and with the LSB chair. Thank you. Campbell?
Thank you very much. Campbell Johnson, WPFW. And I am quite envious of your leap into digital, and I'm specifically interested in how the financing of that was secured. Was that totally internal sources in terms of your normal fundraising efforts, or were there external sources, grants, and other things, if you could describe that, when it took place?
Yeah, it was a combination of a local campaign, a capital campaign called What's Up, that we used to locally generate funds to match government grant money through the PTFP program. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other members have questions or comments? Okay. I would like to say one thing, just as last year's chair of the National Finance Committee, and having spent 3 years on national finance, I, too, appreciate KPFT's ability to get a budget done on time. You're the only one in the network that behaves well and gets your stuff into us in a timely fashion, in a correct fashion, that we don't have to worry about. You're always in budget, never running a deficit. And I know you're a small station, but, man, we really appreciate it. So thank you for all of that good hard work at the administrative back office, and because it really shows up in terms of what we have to do as board members and how easy or difficult our jobs are. So thank you. You're doing a really good job on that stuff.
Okay.
Gold star.
Appreciate it.
Gold star?
Two gold stars. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us this evening also.